Greetings! This is H.G. Wells, log set S1, log 10. And today, I was supposed to get the invention I've been waiting for from my brother, but it's been almost an hour and he still isn't here.
You know what your brother's like, Herbert.
Yes, I know, but still, how can someone who runs a watch shop and practically spends their life surrounded by clocks be late to anything?
I'm not sure. How can a man who owns a time machine manage to be late for supper?
Touché. Anyway, I thought I might as well record a short update despite lacking the very thing I was planning to log about. The translator!
Sorry I'm late. I didn't miss anything, did I?
Frank?
Salutations, Bertie.
Perfectly on time, as per usual.
Oh, don't give me that.
It's lovely to see you, Frank.
And you too, Jane. Good to see you. Keeping Bertie in line?
As best I can, but he's not one for staying on track.
He never has been.
I'm right here, you know.
Oh, I know. I think it would be quite difficult not to know.
And what is that supposed to mean?
You know... Nothing.
Nothing always means something.
And something can often mean nothing.
You said often, which implies nothing can sometimes be something.
Sometimes. Only sometimes.
Yes, but...
Oh, will you two stop running rings around each other? He's only winding you up, Herbert.
I know.
I'm an older brother, and I work in clockwork. I'm an expert in winding up, and you, dear brother, are so easily wound. I'm glad to see you're the same as always. I swear, you look younger every day.
Or perhaps you're just getting older.
Harsh. But true.
Anyway, is what you're holding there the...
Translator? Indeed it is. All finished as per your request.
Oh, brilliant. It looks marvellous, just as I imagined it. Perhaps better.
I'm glad you should think so. I spent long enough working on it.
And for that, I am eternally grateful. Now tell me, how does it work?
Do we have to do this the moment he walks in, Herbert? I know you're excited, but have you thought that maybe Frank would like to sit and talk to us a while before indulging in your technological fancies?
But it won't take long. We can sit and talk afterwards.
If he even has the time.
3:24 p.m. I always have the time.
I didn't mean it literally.
Oh, I know, Jane. I'm just teasing. I should have some time. And you know what he's like. If I don't indulge him now, it's all he'll talk about until I do.
Very true.
I can hear you. I'm standing right next to you.
Perhaps because we want you to hear. Let the critic have some critique.
And that criticism will be taken into consideration. Now please, how does it work?
Very simply. Just face the horn towards the interview subject, then connect the translator itself to the phonograph. This will power it, and also record the translation directly into the phonograph itself. Excellent! However, I must warn you that although the translator works almost perfectly, there is one thing I haven't been able to change so far.
Oh? What is it?
Since I programmed the translator, the translation, well, it sounds like me.
Sounds like me.
A little narcissistic of you to program it with your voice, don't you think?
It's not like I had much of a choice. I didn't have much time, and this is just a first prototype.
I know, I tease, I admit. You had me worried for a moment there. I thought it would be something serious. I can't imagine things much worse than the words of other people being said in your voice.
A bold statement like that can only lead to trouble.
Trouble seems to lead me to it, no matter the path I take. Though if we're talking trouble, no one attracts more trouble than him.
As much as I'd like to deny it, it's true. Trouble is my middle name.
I thought it was Charles.
You're hardly much better, Herbert.
You say that, but Frank's been tinkering with things he shouldn't until they fell apart and literally exploded for as long as I can remember.
Dude, not all that wrong, though.
You literally hijacked a train.
I accidentally hijacked a train. I couldn't pull the lever back.
And there was that time you connected all of the bell wires in Uncle Tom's hotel, so that if one rang, so did every single other one.
All right, but you have to admit, that one was pretty funny.
Oh yes, it was hilarious. Absolute genius. To us, anyway, but no one else.
Did you really do that, Frank?
Proudly, dear Jane. Amongst many other things.
Other children started following him around just to see what trouble he'd get into next. Often up to no good, a dreadful tease, as my mother would call him.
And I suppose you're the golden child, then.
Anything but. The youngest child is always the most problematic, and trust me, he's a poster child for that belief.
That I'm sure.
Come on, I'm not that bad.
Are you sure about that?
Well, of course, I...
Bertie... You are the pinnacle example of annoying younger brother. You would beat the daylights out of Freddy and I, and we'd hardly make a fuss. Yet if we so much as flicked you behind the ear, you'd wail so loudly that the neighbours thought we were stringing out their cat.
You both almost suffocated me numerous times by capturing me in the attic and smothering me with pillows.
Almost is the key word in that sentence. There was literally no other way to shut you up.
Even now, I can still feel the stress and pressure of it all.
Oh, don't be so dramatic. Sure, maybe we choked you a little, but you tried to stab me.
You tried what?
Now, he's the one being dramatic. I didn't try to stab you. I merely meant to strike fear into you.
You certainly did strike me, all right. With frightful aim, right at my forehead.
Herbert!
With a fork! We were having dinner. You were being a dreadful tease, as per usual, wound me up, and there's only so far something could be wound up until it explodes.
And so he launched the fork he was holding at me, and it stuck square in my forehead. If you look closely, you can still see the scars.
Really? I've never seen any scars before.
That's because there aren't any.
Oh, please, you practically mauled me.
You mauled me first!
I dread to think what your poor mother must have to put up with. I really don't see what this has to do with anything. Herbert, darling, do stop arguing and talk about something else. Tell us about that new adaptation to your phonograph.
Ah, yes, the phonograph. It is a rather interesting little device. You see, this new lever here allows the user to tilt the horn, just so, and thus direct it in the direction of where the sound is focused. I hope to soon further expand on this improvement by making the whole thing more lightweight and transportable, allowing logging to be much faster and less of a hassle.
Gracious, Bertie. That's fascinating.
It is rather, isn't it?
And all your notes, they're on here?
All of them. If I let him, he'd probably keep the machine running all the hours God sends. Did you know he recorded our supper last week? He hid the phonograph behind the potted plant in the dining room.
I said I was sorry about that.
All your diaries in audio form. I have to say, Bertie, it's quite the collection.
Thank you.
But I have to ask, why record your thoughts verbally when you're... well, you know...
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you have a tendency to, Fly?
Fly?
Off the handle.
I do not. I've never flown off the handle before in my entire life. Poppycock.
Yes, you do. You're doing it right now.
Frank, don't you see? Audio is the future. Writing will forever endure, for it's an ageless art. But one day, I have a vision that whole stories will be told through the medium of sound. Every kind of story, from long, epic tales full of excitement and danger, to short, sweet stories that can brighten your day in an instant. Entire families will be able to gather round and listen as their favorite works of fiction are read aloud and brought to life in a way that's never yet been done before. It'll be like theater, only with no visual element. People will get to invent the appearance of characters and stories events for themselves, making the story unique for every single person who listens. Even those unhappy illiterate few will be able to sit and enjoy a story, no matter what their educational background. What better way to unite a future full of people than sound?
You're losing focus again.
I am not!
Good Lord.
Wait, is it recording right now?
Well, yes, because I was going to record a log all about the translator that hadn't arrived, but then you did actually arrive.
Oh. Shall I just be off then? Let you ramble to yourself like an old washerwoman.
Well, even if you do leave now, you'll still be late to wherever you're going next. You're chronically late.
You're chronically a pain in my backside.
Are you sure you're not friends with Lewis Carroll? I'm pretty sure he based the White Rabbit off you, desperately rushing around with clocks in your pocket. Oh dear, I shall be too late.
Me? The rabbit? Well, you're the one who's obsessed with time, and constantly rabbiting on to yourself.
I'd say you're both a perfect match for Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
You're Tweedledee?
Then you're dumb, which seems accurate enough to me.
Boys!
Whoops. Sorry, I forgot to turn my alarm off today.
Well, we were all alarmed, so at least you know it works.
Oh, that scared the bejeepers out of me. You know I have sensitive organs.
All right, you may be missing a kidney and a quarter of a lung, but you're not the only one with breathing difficulties. Try having pigeon chest.
Oh, will you two please stop being so silly and get a hold of yourselves and stop all this nonsense. You two can be unbearable sometimes. I wish Freddy were here. At least he evens you both out.
Good old brother Freddy. I do miss him sometimes. You heard anything from him lately, Bertie?
I received a letter from him a week or so ago. He's doing well, he says. Says the weather is lovely in South Africa.
I do wish he'd actually visit us, though.
It's too bad that there's no tangible or foreseeable way for us to easily visit him.
Wait, couldn't you just use the time...
Oh, I say, Frank, what would you say if I told you that I'm hosting a house party with some of the greatest writers of authors past?
Well, firstly, I'd say you're completely mad. That's ludicrous. What are you thinking? It'll be chaos. Secondly, I'd say that I positively, absolutely must be there. It sounds like a jolly good show.
Excellent, because you're invited.
My goodness, Bertie. This is going to be quite something, isn't it?
The greatest event that time ever forgot.
And now you two are finally speaking to each other like men and not little boys, how about we continue this polite discussion in the drawing room, rather than down here? It's cold and drafty.
Yes, indeed. That sounds good. I should have some time to stay. Come on, Bertie. I want you to tell me all about these guests you're inviting.
I have much to tell you, believe me. I'd better stop the phonograph recording. My name is H.G. Wells.
Really? I thought it was King Edward.
This has been Frank Charles Wells.
Thanks for the advertisement.
And sometimes I wonder...
Hold on a moment. If Frank gets an acknowledgement, why don't I? In fact, I'm not sure I ever have in one of your logs.
And the ever-wonderful Catherine Jane Wells.
Thank you.
And sometimes I wonder if my parents ever regretted starting a family. And if those regrets are why they stopped after me.
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets, and Facebook at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets. Or check out our website, www.hgwellshashisregrets.wordpress.com. This episode of H.G. Wells Has His Regrets was written and produced by Emily Hancock and Francesca Mylord-Ford. Music composed by Emily Hancock and Joash Kari, and sound design by John Black. This show was created and executive produced by Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Catherine Jane Wells was voiced by Georgia Fisk. Frank Wells was voiced by Joash Kari. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on, and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. If everyone minded their own business, the world will go around a great deal faster than it does. Thanks for listening.